Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yano, I know the camera is on, but what am I meant to do? When a wrestling promotion puts on a pay-per-view like that, and your job is to come on and try and recount it, there's nothing. There ain't nothing I can do, so I'm just going to stand here and look over there. Of course, I'm not going to do that. What I am going to do is I'm going to take the finger of power, and I'm going to do my best to up those downs for AEW Revolution 2022, which is officially in the books. Now, if you are watching this because you just want to be caught up and you're not going to watch the damn thing, believe you me, absolutely check it out. It was borderline ridiculous, which will be the word for this episode of Ups and Downs. But hey, look, we are here. Let's go and up those downs for AEW Revolution. Right, I know, this isn't fair, but my job is to keep these videos as short as possible, and the AEW Revolution card did the opposite of my hairline, it just kept growing and growing. So just to tie in really quickly, the whole buy-in absolutely rocked. You had Hook beating QT Marshall, you had Layla Hirsch defeating Chris Statlander, you had Don Callis returning to AEW and trolling us all by pretending to be Kenny Omega, and you had this six-man tag team match that was flubbernonsense. I mean, it was just super duper fun time 9000 as the Houses of Black took on Pac, Penta, and Eric Redbeard. And when it came to the finish too, Brody King basically picked up Mr. Redbeard and slammed him right on his head. And yes, that was absolutely crazy. So if you take it all, it is getting a massive up. Do make sure you watch it. It was all top stuff. And I know this was a crazy long show, but I ain't gonna stand here and moan about somebody going, hey Simon, do you want a bunch of good wrestling? Revolution then got going properly with Eddie Kingston versus Chris Jericho. And flub me sideways, these two guys just tried to kill each other. Like Jericho time and time again has all been like, man, I need to adapt to other people's styles and I need to keep evolving. And that is exactly what happened here. I mean, I think the first thing we saw was Jericho getting dumped right on his head courtesy of Eddie, and Kingston was not mucking around at all. He just stormed to the ring during his entrance. He was like, man, bells, whistles, pomp, circumstance, I don't need that of it. This skull smash was clearly planned too, because we kind of fashioned the whole match around it. Especially straight afterwards, if any kind of maneuver had the word neck in it or break, Eddie was like, well, I know I'm going to use that. Eventually, Jericho set Kingston into Barry Barricade so he could take over, and make no mistake, this was meant to be bad boy Christopher, because any time the crowd would go, Eddie, Eddie, he would just stand there and flip them off. He also looked more aggressive than he had done in ages, especially when these two guys were chopping each other. And also, after Jericho had poked Eddie Kingston in the eye, Eddie was like, referee, why did you let that go? Now I can't see, I got vision problems. Do you know what Jericho did after that? He went to the top rope and he hit Kingston with a top rope hurricanrana. And do not forget, that dude is 50 years old. He's also a little bit of a cheater as he exposed the top turnbuckle, but that was kind of a ruse because after we had done code breakers and walls of Jericho's and spinning back fist, there was no two ways about it. This was absolutely great, especially when it came to the finish. Because it really did seem like Jericho had this done because he was hitting so many moves, but then Eddie Kingston hit his second spinning back fist of the evening and he locked in the stretch plum, which is one of the greatest move names you'll ever hear. And you were looking at Jericho going, well, I don't really understand how he's gonna get out of this when he took his hand and he tapped out. So I did not see this coming, and we cemented the fact that Chris Jericho is going down a dark path because Eddie put out his hand, like, remember what you said on Dynamite? You said we would shake these things if I did win, And of course, Jericho went, nah, brah. He walked up the rampway. This probably means we get to do round two, and we absolutely should. It is getting a definite up. It was then tag team title time, and as I said during the intro, this was just absolutely ridiculous. Because it was the Jurassic Express defending their titles against Red Dragon and the Young Bucks, and even though we had around about 72,896 moves, you also had a bunch of story in there. And I'm sick and tired of people on the internet going, oh man, these guys don't know how to tell narrative, they do too many moves. No, you're wrong. They do a bunch of moves, but also they know how to weave a tale. You could only have two people in the ring, so we made sure to establish this by having everybody work with everybody else. And then when Jungle Boy realised they had done that, he went foop and he dived onto the ball. O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Matt and Nick Jackson then went like, okay, we know what we should do here. We should all team together. And they did indeed start to beat up Jungle Boy, probably because he has lovely hair. Eventually, Matt had the chance to go for a pin, but that's where this relationship of convenience was broken up because Kyle O'Reilly was like, no, dude, you ain't doing that. And Luchasaurus spied this from afar, so he came running in and he went absolutely wild, including grabbing Kyle and giving him a chokeslam onto his watery friend. Jungle Express then hit the Doomsday Device, which no matter what year will always be a crazy, crazy move. This is when Red Dragon and the Young Bucks started to go at it, but also the tag clacks and ha sounded, so everybody was in the air, and there's no way I can recap it. It honestly was just like move, stop, go, move, stop, go, move, stop, go, move, stop, go. I mean, there were so many last second pin breaks up, I thought I was gonna die, especially when Jungle Boy did this once with a 450, and then Nick Jackson decided to escalate that instantly by breaking up another one with a 450. So that is like barring your toast with your face, even though a knife would be perfectly fine. They had close calls after title shots and a BTE trigger. And this is when Luchasaurus once again was like, man, I'm going to dive onto everyone. And during this madness, Matt Jackson actually hit the most devastating move of all sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up. And can you imagine if this had ended with that? I would have loved it. The big man saw this from afar, though. He got back in the ring. He called to Jungle Boy. Let's hit our Thoracic Express, whatever it's called. They hit their move. And if you can believe it, they got the 1-2-3. They retained their championship. And once again, I didn't predict that at all because I'm crap at that game. Then I had to go and lay down and just get some energy back because this was so, so off the chain. And it's getting it up. And in case you hadn't had enough insanity for your brain after this, it was the face of the Revolution ladder match. I was actually feeling a little bit anxious because I'm like, well, I'm already up here. How much higher am I going to go? It also meant it was Wardlow versus Keith Lee versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Ricky Starks versus Christian Cage and versus Orange Cassidy. And how any of them are walking around today pain-free, I will never know. You knew the big man aspect was going to tie in here, so the Giants got rid of the smaller dudes so they could face off. But this is when Orange was back in the ring and he was doing all his little weak kicks. And when they tried to stop him, he basically got onto their backs and he tried to grab the Brass Sonic ring. He's a smart guy. Cassidy and Starks were then being held at the ring, and then Christian saw Powerhouse Hobbs. He's like, ha ha, I'm going to give you a DDT off the ladder. And then Keith Lee was in there, and he took out Ricky Starks and Cage with a crossbody. And then given that Orange jumped him at the wrong time, he just got his legs, and he started using him as a weapon. That ain't normal. The carnage then started to get really crazy because Wardlow was like, wait a minute, I haven't done much of anything. So he got in there and he started smashing fools. And then there was spear after spear when Orange Cassidy and Ricky Starks jumped on Wardlow's back. So do you know what he did? He was like, man, you two are nothing like flies. He started to climb the damn ladder regardless. Everyone was then falling off ladders and taking bumps and it looked like hell. And Keith clearly wanted a clean ring because he started grabbing people and chucking them over the top rope like they were garbage. It also saw Lee, Wardlow and Hobbs go back to looking at each other and they fought up the rampway a little bit where Hobbs and Wardlow broke apart a ladder like it was some kind of wishbone where you're eating some chicken. Now, Wardlow was so excited to use his, Hobbs just smashed him from behind and then he was using it on everybody else. This was actual death, especially when Keith Lee and Powerhouse Hobbs were teetering on the stage when Wardlow then returned from nowhere and he pushed him off there through a flipping table. Just to be sure there was no let up, Danhausen was then here and he cursed Ricky Starks, and it always makes me laugh. But also, seriously, that worked straight away because Wardlow got him and there was like this ladder bridge and he powerbombed Ricky Starks into it, but his neck just went into the steel. I was genuinely worried, but apparently he's okay. It did leave Wardlow with a clear path to the top and he got the brass ring. So not only is he now the face of the Revolution, but he's also the number one contender for the TNT title. And given what happens later with MJF, it's just a massive applause all around. and it's getting it up. And then Shane Strickland signed with AEW. What was going on in his show? This was much like the other new signee segments we have done on pay-per-views, but Tony Schiavone said, here he comes. He came out, he looked happy. The fans gave him a great reception, and I tell you, keep an eye on this dude. He gonna smash it up. Jade Cargill versus Ty Conte for the TBS title followed, and I tell you, we are doing everything possible to make Jade a star. I mean, she came out to a guitarist playing her entrance music live. That is always badass. It's also why, even though certain parts of this match were a little mistimed, what they made up for, I guess, in a lack of finesse, was more than made up for just full-on adrenaline and making sure this felt like a big deal. She followed that with judo throws, and man, all of these pump kicks into the corner, but that was a terrible idea, because after Ty Conte decided to take out Mark Sterling, Jade Cargill turned around, and she just pump kicked Anna Jay's face off. It was a bit like, that's my move, you don't get to use it. Anna was having none of that though, so she smacked Jade with a chair. This basically happened in front of the referee. Like, man, no, I don't care. Do whatever the hell you want. But this led to two pretty good near falls. One right after that, but when Jade did get back up, Ty Conte hit the DD tie and she got another one. But you can't keep Jade Cargill down, especially because when she made her entrance, she looked like a Mortal Kombat character. Anna was then back casting distraction once again. It's like, man, maybe we need to turn that down a little bit. But it worked once again, because Ty hit a pile driver onto Jade Cargill and it went one, two, and when she kicked out, I went, ooh. All of this probably would have gone fine if Ty hadn't gone to the top rope as well, but she did do that. Jade stopped her. She smashed her with the Jaded. She went 29-0, and seriously, given that, as obviously the numbers state, she hasn't even had 30 professional matches, Jade Cargill is going right to the top. Ty Conte just seems to get better every single time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was story time next, not because Adam Cole was out here, but because of all the wonderfulness between MJF and CM Punk was about to continue and move into the stratosphere. I mean, even the entrances had this, because MJF came out to CM Punk's theme, whereas Punk came out to all his old Ring of Honor stuff. And all you had to do here was settle your tush in and watch 20 minutes of top-tier narrative storytelling wrestling. I mean, whatever your expectations were, this probably exceeded them. And of course, do not forget, it was a dog collar match. So almost instantly, you had CM Punk trying to kill MJF. Like, Maxwell ran away, but Punk would pull him back and he got caught on the ropes at one point, like, ah, I can't breathe. And if you don't know, if you don't breathe for a while, you will die. Of course, as soon as Punk was on top, MJF was all like begging off, please, please, CM Punk, leave me alone, I didn't mean it. But this is also when he grabbed the chain, he punched Punk right in the head and the blood started to flow again. I mean, it was no big surprise, Punk had said this was gonna happen. MJF then grabbed a microphone because he wanted Punk to quit, but Punk was all like, go eat shib, Max, until he headbutted him right in the groin. I was like, well, that was a really smart move. That's a way to get back on top. They then just beat each other to an almost disturbing degree, especially when Punk went for the GTS, but MJF took his, like, nails and rammed into Punk's cut to make that even worse. And as soon as he saw he had an opening, he took the chain and he wrapped it around Punk's neck to apply the sleeper, which, yes, was a call back to match number one. This time, Punk didn't fade, and right after that, we started transitioning from the Salt of the Earth iron bar to the Anaconda vice, but when Maxwell got a little bit worried, he grabbed Punk's hair and he hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. Now look, this was never going to end that way, but I bit just a little bit. Some of the steel steps were then in use because clearly a steel chain wasn't enough, but actually all the work that MJF had done paid off here because Punk went to hit the GTS, but he wasn't able to do it because he's like, oh man, I've got nothing left because he'd been bleeding everywhere. So instead, he took Friedman over to the ring apron and he gave him a tombstone. Thumbtacks were soon involved because clearly we needed to take the violence level up to 89. And for 1 second, it looked like Punk was going to hit the Pepsi plunge onto these. And I was like, oh, thank goodness it didn't happen. And then straight away, Maxwell Jacob Friedman gave him a superplex through them instead. And this is what I did. I just shook my head. Don't forget, Punk didn't need to do this, but he did. Throughout all of this, the collar came a little bit loose as well. So MJF told Wardlow to come to the ring. And this is when we took all that story stuff and we just rubbed it all over our bodies. Because Maxwell was demanding that Wardlow passed him the diamond ring. But even though he looked for it, oh, can you believe it? He doesn't know where it is. He must have worn the wrong suit. Punk then used all of this to hit the GTS into the thumbtack. So I went all oogly boogly because I was like, oh my gosh, that was disgusting. When all of a sudden Wardlow went, oh, I didn't check my other pocket. What a silly goose. He found the diamond ring. He left it on the mat. And seriously, he walked away to just the craziest amount of cheers you ever heard. That dude going babyface. Punk then picked up this ring, even though Wardlow never actually handed it to him. And even though MJF did go and spit in Punk's face, he took it. He slammed him in the head. He pinned him for the 1-2-3. And this just gets the biggest round of applause. It was so damn good. It built and the ending felt like something from, I don't know, Shakespeare. That's a massive exaggeration. It didn't, but you know what I'm trying to tell you. And I've enjoyed all of this so much. It doesn't just get an up. It gets the golden up. And I felt really sorry for whoever was going to follow this because it didn't matter who you are. It was going to be really tough. However, it was Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa for the AEW Women's title. Now, I have seen some people melt down over this because once again, it was just full of distractions and interference. But by now, shouldn't we be up to speed? If Baker is going to have a match, Rebel is going to be there, Jamie Hayter is going to be there, and they are going to hit the interference button like they think it's going out of fashion. So the only way you're actually going to be able to defeat her is by getting rid of all her minions. It's like when you have a boss fight in the video game, you've got to take out the first form, and then the second form somehow has weird powers, and all of a sudden, all the buttons on your controller are doing the reverse. It's not like every single match has this either. However, I do have one point to make now that I have established all of that. Where the flubbins was Mercedes Martinez? I thought the whole point was Thunder Rosa being like, man, I've got to be smart here. I've got to be on my game. I need a friend to defend against her friends. So, hey, Mercedes, I know we started off on the bad foot, but now we can be buddies. And yet she was nowhere to be found, which is even more disappointing because she had this match won. That's right. She too hit a tombstone pile driver, which was the move of the night. And she had a visual pinfall. She pinned Britt Baker 1-2-3. But of course, Jamie Hayter and Rebel distracted the referee. So it counts for nothing. This also happened again when Thunder Rosa had a submission locked in. So I was just going, call Mercedes Martinez. Literally get a phone out of your pocket. Go, look, I know I was coming down here trying to be the strong babyface, trying to live up to all my beliefs and my honors and my morals, but it is going terribly wrong. Just walk down that ring and glare at them, and I think that will probably work. Sadly, this did not happen, and even though Thunder Rosa was able to kick out of a curb stop onto the title, after she had finally decided, well, I have to take care of business, and she smashed up Jamie Hayter and Rebel, when she got back in the ring, she got hit with another curb stomp. 1-2-3. Britt Baker is still your champion. So I'm kind of torn about all of this because on the one hand, I did think it was an enjoyable match. I had a good time. But on the other, I was like, yeah, Mercedes definitely needed to be there. And also, it kind of just felt to me deep down in my tum-tum, this was the time to make Thunder Rosa the champ. I mean, you definitely don't want to miss the peak, which is very easy to do in wrestling. So I'm going to be that guy. For the match itself, I'm giving it an up. But for all the other things I have talked about, I am giving it a down. Although I do bet you Britt Baker loses it soon. Just another thought I had. Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley then smashed it. I mean, what even was this pay-per-view? This was all about the fact that we had Mr. Technical Wrestling versus Mr. Brawler. So this is exactly what we tied into. Like at first, Daniel was all like, man, look at my moves, I can do this. And he was celebrating. So Mox was like, well, I don't appreciate that. So he started to punch him right in the face. He then had more strikes, flips and lariats as Bryan continued to go, oh man, I'm having such a good time. But seriously, he needed to learn this was not the way to do it. Because every time Jon saw it, he was like, all right, well, you've annoyed me now. I'm going to try and rip off your face. It was so well done, though. They're both such terrific wrestlers. And of course, within around about 5 minutes, both guys were bleeding. So much like the CM Punk and MJF stuff, this was the whole point of the thing. I mean, they literally told you that's what they were going to do. There was then this potty avalanche suplex as Bryan Danielson tried to kill Jon Moxley. And when they landed on the mat, Danielson took his elbow and he started to smash it into Moxley's face. He also then put on the dragon sleeper, meaning Jon had to like scramble to the ropes. And this actually took me by surprise. I was like, that's Mox. No one does this to him. He needs to fight back. Naturally, that is exactly what happened because Moxley took the hardest part of his arm and started smashing it into Bryan's skull. But then he almost decided to try and outdo Bryan because he locked in his own submission. Danielson then reversed that into the lapel lock, so once again, Moxley had to grab the ropes. They then kicked each other's head in because nothing else was working, and I don't think this was pulled at all. And when it came to the finish, my word, what a great example of how to use the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. Because once again, Moxley found himself locked in a submission. He didn't know what to do apart from use his instincts. So out of nowhere, he kind of rolled Bryan onto his back. The ref went 1, 2, 3. And if you want to say he stole one here, well, you'd be absolutely right. Neither guy could believe this had happened. So instantly they started to brawl once again. And after a bunch of referees and officials couldn't break them up, from nowhere, of all people, who came walking to the ring? I was so happy. It was William Regal. He gave Mox a slap as Bryan smiled with glee, but he turned around and he slapped Danielson as well. And the whole time he was like, I taught you better. Because, of course, if you go learn about their past, both guys have said, oh my gosh, William Regal's the greatest person ever. And now he's here essentially telling them to become a team. He eventually made them shake hands. I guess they are going to be a pairing. And I'm sorry, I know I'm breaking all of my rules, but you do not understand how much I love William Regal. He's basically a hero of mine. And this made me squeal with joy because I'm a very strange person. So I don't care. You get mad in the comments. That's what they're there for. Because all of it, the match, the aftermath, the fact that William Regal's in AEW, it doesn't just get an up. It gets a golden up. Actually, no. I've come up with a much better idea. It doesn't get golden up. Get rid of that. It gets the first and only ever Regal up. And then Sting went, oh yeah, by the way, I'm one of the best ever. I mean, if I could just stand here and go, Sting is 62 years old, Sting is 62 years old, Sting is 62 years old, that's what I do. Because Sting is 62 years old, and I don't think Sting knows he's 62 years old. Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy, Andrade also just ensured this is the most fun you could possibly have watching men wrestle in their pants. I mean, straight away, Darby Allin was doing all of his dives. It was just so good. I mean, Assistant Jose also got hit by a trash can. Matt Hardy was smacking everybody with a chair. Andrade at one point grabbed Sammy and threw him into the crowd, for goodness sake. And then when Sting was back in the ring and people were attacking him, he did his no-sell thing and he started beating everybody up. And there are some people out there, when this happened, that goes, I don't ever want to see the no-sell thing again. Come and fight me, because you don't know what you're talking about. Guevara then got wrecked on the outside by Private Party as they hit the gin and juice onto the floor. And clearly the AHFO, whatever the flub it's called, had paid the Butcher and the Blade double time, because they had shut up their shop early on a Sunday, and they were here too. And this is when Darby Allin got grabbed by the Butcher, and he was just swinging him into Barry Barricade. And I was like, man, head is not meant to go into steel like that. I then could not believe what happened next, because we went to the top of the aisleway, and we found all these tables set up, and Sammy Guevara and Isaiah Cassidy fighting on top of the stage. And they were really high up. And of course, there's no padding down there. And of all the moves, they did a Spanish fly through the tables. Poor Isaiah's foot just went flying into the floor. This made me collapse because I couldn't believe it. But honestly, they deserve all the praise in the world. They also crazy. Sting must have seen this from afar as well, because then over another point of the arena, a bunch more tables were stacked up. Andrade was laid on top and Sting climbed up and he was high. I tell you, he's also 62 years old and he did a diving splash onto Mr. Tranquilo through all of this wood. Rightfully so, the crowd went crazy. Somebody get Sting some kind of a medal that just says, I am the best person ever, because it is 100% true. We then flew back in the ring as Darby had also been inspired by this and he hit a scorpion death drop through a chair onto Matt Hardy and then hit the coffin drop to get the 1, 2, 3. And I swear, this may have been perfect. It was so entertaining. I thought it was so damn good. It was the perfect thing to have before we did get to the main event. It's gagging up. I love Sting. Even with all of this too, we still had a banger of a main event to go, because it was Hangman Adam Page versus Adam Cole for the AEW title. Let's just keep it nice and simple. up. The fans were the highlight of this because they came up with about 12 different chants just aimed at Adam. And I cannot believe there are actually some individuals out there who are all like, man, you can't have somebody with the same name in the main event. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, what are we meant to do here? Do you want to be called Charles? There you go. It was Adam Coles versus Charles Page. Are you happy now? Good. Mr. Cole wasn't worried about this at all because he came flying out of the gate and started beating up the Hangman. Although Page had a plan here, he was like, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab you, and based on other things I've seen in the evening, I'm going to slam you into Barry Barricade over and over again. So he did. Cole then avoided a lariat, which saw Page's arm go ramming into Rita the ring post, and that was going to tie into the whole story. And I was very pleased because straight after this, Adam Cole also used Simba the Steel Steps. So now I've completed my trifecta of stupid names. And I know, this is a really idiotic show. Page just couldn't get into this at all, though, because every time he tried, Cole just cut him off. And amazingly, what screwed over Cole was the fact he went for the Panama Sunrise. That was enough to wake the Hangman up, and he powerbombed Cole onto the apron before giving him that crazy suplex from the top to the outside. And I'm sorry, that thing doesn't get praised enough. The absolute best bit, though, is when they were back in the ring and Page decided to go for another moonsault, and Adam Cole super kicked him out of midair. Somehow Page then came back and hit a dead eye for an awesome near fall, and then there was another tombstone. So I was like, that's it. Either Okada is coming or The Undertaker is coming, because all of a sudden the tombstone is just here, there, and everywhere. That was never gonna happen, and instead Red Dragon came to the ring to cause the distraction, which allowed Adam Cole to hit a Panama Sunrise on the floor. But that only got a two when Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish used all of their MP. They caused more distraction, and this is when Adam Cole hit Panama Sunrise. He hit the boom, and I honestly thought that was it. I thought Adam Cole was our brand new AEW champion, but Hangman Adam Page kicked out. It was kind of quite clear what we were doing. Fish and O'Reilly then really flubbed it because they set a table up at ringside, but Hangman went, all right, well, I'm just going to dead-eye Cole through it. And this is when finally, Dark Order were here to chase these guys off. But then back in the ring, the Cowboy hit a buckshot lariat, and just as the ref was about to hit three, Cole grabbed the ropes at the last minute. I mean, that really was pretty good. Page then decided he would get revenge for what happened on Rampage because he tied Adam Cole up in the ropes. And then later on, he hit him with his own version of the boom. He followed up with the buckshot. He got the 1-2-3. He is still AEW champion. And let's just be honest with it, that man does not have bad matches when he's got the gold. Adam Cole also came out with Halo Spartan armor on, so I was nerding out like an absolute kid. And seriously, you need to go and watch this pay-per-view. AEW deciding only to have four a year means every single one feels like the greatest thing ever, to the point, get mad again, it doesn't just get it up, it's getting the golden up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.